Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is February 8th, Thursday, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. I am Atchel Pearl, and of course, Cresta Starr is with me on a very busy Thursday, on a very busy week, and a very busy month, and a very busy year. It's only February, Cresta Starr, but how you feeling?
I am excited. I am exhausted. We said this on the crossover. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times to be a wrestling fan. There's so much exciting news, and there's so much news that you wish that you weren't a wrestling fan to begin with. I am going to have a good time with TNA. I don't care. I'm going to have a good time with TNA. You can't stop me.
They're not going to try either. There's obviously the big news of the month, or the big news of the week that came out, was Scott D'Amore is out at TNA. He is no longer the president of TNA Wrestling. And Anthony Cincione from Anthem is going to be taking over. Cincione was already part of Anthem Sports and Entertainment. He was part of the wing that basically would have included TNA if TNA was the direct underling, if you will, of Anthem. So it's a very complicated story. There's a lot of reporting on it. And like I said, in the crossover, if you're listening in audio, you don't always get the crossover in full on this feed, but it's developing, and Fightful is working on our coverage of it. But from what has been reported so far, it was a lot of talk about money and budgets, and that's where it is right now. So we're going to see, regardless, the show that we're talking about tonight, the show that we're talking about next week, all the way up until No Surrender, which is on Friday the 23rd, those shows are in the can. Those were under Scott. That's what we got. That's what's happening. As of the 23rd, that's when they meet up again. That's in New Orleans, and that's when the show is now under a new regime. What does that mean? I can tell you all that creatively, TNA has a team in place. They have... The way I've said it to Cresta, the way I kind of put it to you, Cresta, was when Kevin Dunn left WWE, there wasn't one person who was going to take over for him. There were going to be a group of people who take over his duties with a shared vision. And that is almost what you're going to get, what it feels like you're going to get with this D'Amore departure. There are a lot of people who are already there, still there. And as a result, some of their roles will expand, and some of the things that they do day to day will expand. And of course, Cicione being the president will have a supervisory role, probably do things day to day. And that will be that. But we're going to find out again as the news comes out. That's the way it felt. Cresta, you got the news. How did you feel when you read it? And tell me your thoughts.
I will say that I've had the pleasure of covering TNA Impact because of this job at Fightful. So shout outs to Fightful. Subscribe. Best $5 in the business.
Yes.
I will also say that I've got to see how it's grown from my previous misconceptions and other things that people have told me about it to this amazing product, to be quite frank. It's a little disheartening at first, but I think that's a knee-jerk reaction. I will say I'm going to let it play out. That's something I've learned in wrestling, is like, it's sometimes it's the shock value that gets you, gal, but let it play out. But I would be a liar if I said I'm not sad for Scott D'Amore. After you gave that impassioned TNA is back, I feel like you You did the damn thing. You nursed a mummified plant back to a forest. And to see you like, well, now you're not president of the forest no more. It's kind of like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I hope for the best because I really enjoy the product. And I think there's a fantastic locker room, staff from production to crew and everything. I hope. I'm hopeful. It just sucks. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel for Scott.
Yeah, talent and staff. You've seen it on socials. If you follow a lot of them, they've been, you know, shouting their praise for Scott D'Amore, and that's understandable. They've worked with him directly. Again, it's a developing story. We're keeping up on it, but that was the news that kind of shocked us here in TNA yeah. land over on the Wednesday afternoon, as it were. It's been a lot, but we're going to work to uncover some more. I know that other people, like I said, other outlets have reported it. We are still working on ours to shore up everything, because for us, it's about getting the story right, not just putting out the story first. That's not a shot at anybody. We just want to make sure we get it right. Speaking of getting it right, this was an interesting one. So, at Hard to Kill in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. I had some conversations with people, and we were talking about the upcoming shows. And I said, "Well, what's I said selfishly, I was like, Toronto is going to happen. They're like, yeah, we think so. But right now, we might be coming back to Vegas for Rebellion." And I said, "Don't you feel it's a little too soon?" And they said, "Yeah, but it's an ongoing conversation, so it might not happen." And then the conversation shifted to White Plains, New York as a possibility for Rebellion. Uh-huh. This is April, by the way. This is 4 months after a TNA pay-per-view just happened in Vegas. So there was talk about going back to the Palms, and here we are. They announced tonight that TNA Rebellion is Saturday, April 20th, 4:20. We'll be live, of course. We'll be cheaped up, but we'll be there. We'll be here doing our post show. Steven Jensen will join us. No, that's fine. Do your thing. If it's legal, do it. Just don't impede. Anyway, point is, we will be here April 20th doing the TNA Rebellion post show. It's at the Palms in Las Vegas. I won't be going back unless somebody pays my bills to go there, because I can only do that trip on points once a year. And there's only so much that comes from doing a TNA show. Listen, if there's a generous benefactor out there, just contact me.
Listen, I'll go in his suitcase, so it's a 2-for-1 special.
There it is. By the way, if you want to be my generous benefactor, you can also donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful, and you can also leave a thumbs up. That's the free version of donating, and tell your friends about us and subscribe to us here on the channel. Or you can go to humperchats.com, Crest, to tell them why and how.
You go to humperchats.com with your fingers or your thumbs. If you are on your phone, you're going to go ahead and leave us a comment and say, "Joe Pearl, Crest of Star, I know this is about TNA, but it's about you right now. Good luck at Rebellion. So here's 5,000 digi dollars. And then you send it to us. We get to keep a little bit more. We're happy. Sean Ross Sapp is happy. And then we'll be in Vegas hanging out with you. Humperchats.com. You don't have to send us $5,000. But if you did, shoot for the stars. That's something.
Bong. Yeah, okay, we're good. I saw Humper chat about tonight's presser, and I went to see if Sean was live. He's not, so we're good. Yeah, plenty to talk about. So they're going back to Vegas. That's the big one of the big deals coming out is that the next pay-per-view is going to be in April. It's going to be at the Palms. It's a great venue. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we watched Hard to Kill there, but yeah, it's a quick return to Vegas. But I guess it's no different from doing Toronto every 4 months. That's what they were doing. They were doing April, and then they'd be back in August. So ain't that far apart.
Maybe they got a good deal. Maybe they have a good working partnership. So might as well use it while you got it.
I can tell you the first part. Yes, that is true. There is a good deal. The green and white aesthetic on the banner makes me feel like Mustafa Ali is going to be sticking around for a little while. He's booked to TNA through the end of March. So you'll probably be seeing a lot of Mustafa Ali in the coming weeks and months on TNA. Tonight, he had his fingerprints all over the first match. Chris Sabin and Skyler, they had their opening contest in Ali We Trust border going around. He's promoting this match. I love it. And then you've got commentary trying to read the sponsorship notes. And then Ali on Twitter saying, "Tom Hannafin, maybe next time you could be more enthusiastic." Good Hands come out. They're doing a blood spatter gimmick type of dress in their gear now with red in their hair. It's good. Chris Sabin gets the win with the cradle shock. Skyler looks good. Good Hands are Good Hands. And then they're doing Sabin versus Ali for the X Division Championship and No Surrender. What do we think of the match? What do we think of Ali coming in? Because I don't think we really got to talk much about it last week beyond the announcement.
I'm going to be real with you. The match itself, I was more impressed with the Ali sponsorships, because that's kind of really fun. I'm not gonna lie, I laughed. I was sports entertained by that. The banners, the ticker at the bottom, I was like, this is good shit, pal. I like this. I really like this. The match itself was good, but I got to tell you, I don't remember much of the match. I remember them having to read it over. And Tom Hannafin is like, this was sponsored by Ali. And Ali, in Ali, we trust. I'm like, this is great. I'm here for it. I can't wait for Ali versus Chris Sabin. And I think there's a fair chance that Ali might take the X Division Championship off of Chris Sabin. And I would absolutely love that. I'm not going to hold you. Nothing against Chris Sabin. You're a god. But also,
there's a part of me that agrees with you. Mm-hmm. Sabin's held that title for a while. He's had it since, is it Bound for Glory or before that? He took it off of Leo Rush. But regardless, he's had the title for a while. Ali coming in and doing a stint until Rebellion, or maybe even going after the World Championship at Rebellion and starting off strong with the X Division title, that would be cool. But I don't know what to expect out of this Ali run, other than he's sticking around for at least a few months, and that's a good way to start, and that's a hot way to start. Or do you run it back? You do it in No Surrender, and then you do it again a little bit later. I don't know what happens, but it looks like an intriguing match. I mean, Sabin versus Ali was on a lot of dream cards, and then we're going to
Be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be looking forward to watching it and seeing it. I'm looking forward to what they do with Ali after the match, when he starts making appearances for TNA. Because right now, everything is going to be pre-taped and dropped in, because he wasn't at the tapings where they announced he was coming in. We'll start somewhere, and this is fine. But I like where it's coming.
Yeah, I do too.
Alex Shelley's backstage with Gia Miller. I like this promo. I like it a lot, Cresta. It's called Life of Risk. Says he's mentored a lot of people in the business. And then he calls the system symbiotic one, that they feed off of each other. And he says that Eddie Edwards tonight, because they're in the main event, is going to be the personal voodoo doll of Alex Shelley. Says he's going to want Alicia to feel when he cranks the elbow, or Brian Myers to feel it when he hyperextends the knee. Moose feels it when I wrench his neck. And he says, you take out one system component, the whole thing crashes. I like it. It's simple, it's effective, and it's a good use of terminology. What do you think?
Honestly, he made a very good point when he was like that these guys don't all – these are not team players. Not anyone on there besides Brian Myers. But Brian Myers sometimes is always the lamb to the slaughter in situations. So it's like Moose and Eddie Edwards, even Alicia, are selfish people. You're all going to turn on each other at some point. So I'd be surprised if they don't soon. So it was a good promo. It was a good promo.
Yeah, solid stuff. We'll talk about that match a little bit later in the main event. Tasha Steelz versus Zaya Brookside is up next. This is match two of their seeming best of three. We'll see. Tasha Steelz pulls out the win. I like this. This was she adapted from the way she worked with Zaya Brookside the first time. Zaya uses a lot of submission work, gets the Great Octopus finished towards the end of the match, and then Steelz reverses the Brooksy bomb, grabs the tights, cheats to win. It's your favorite thing in the world,
Cheat
Cresta.
To win. Cheat to win. Honestly, they were both working stiff, but I respect it. It's well within Tasha Steelz's wheelhouse. She's the greatest to beat the greatest. She's a Boricua badass. And the way that she pinned her with the handful of tights was so creative. Because if I'm the ref, I'm looking at the one hand that has her. Because the way she pinned her, she had like her hand on like her ankle or her foot to push her down. So the ref really wasn't paying attention to the other hand that literally had a fistful of tights. I was like, got to use your noodle. And that's something she did. So shout outs to Tasha Steelz to being smart. You got to, I think, Ray Walt said this on air, that you got to use your veteran smarts. And if this girl is going to play this way, just show her what's really up. Welcome to TNA. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering, where does Tasha Steelz fit in all this? Because she's, well, first of all, I want to know what the gear inspiration was, other than, you know, Egyptian artifact or Egyptian royalty.
I thought it was Nefertiti.
Was it
Nefertiti?
I could be ignorant. I don't know, but I saw. Well, I would know, but I because anyway, I would love to know. But I just saw her come out, and they didn't really make any allusion to it. It could just be this is fire gear. I'm aware, and that's fine. Mm. That's cool. I'm waiting for the next step with Tasha Steelz, because this is something that we have discussed on this show, you and I. What are we doing with Tasha Steelz? She shows up and then she's gone for 6 months, and then she shows up and then she's gone for another few months, and now she's back. I'm hoping that means that they're going to start moving her back into that, you know, slotted upper mid-card position. But it starts with Zaya Brookside, who just started. She loses her first match officially, a singles match. And now they probably are going to do a rubber match. When do you do it? Probably countdown to no surrender, and that's fine. And then they move up from there. But that feels like Xia Brookside wins, but who knows? I'm just wondering, where does Sasha Steele fit in on the knockouts card?
I will say that the knockouts division is so stacked that it might be time for a mid-card knockouts division title. It just might be, because there are people like, I'll put Savannah Evans when she's not, when Giselle Shaw isn't going for main event stuff. Xia Brookside, Tasha Steeles. I know I'm missing someone. Oh my goodness. Jody Threat. Oh my goodness. There's another girl who I'm missing whose name. Killer Kelly, when her and Masha aren't together, there's a plethora of girls that could do something where it's like, because your main, the top of the card is stacked. Like Jordan Grace is kind of like, well, Josh Alexander, bro. You gonna fight Jordan Grace?
Let's not forget that there is a knockouts tag division, and Tasha is without a partner, and we'll talk about what's going on in Giselle Shaw's camp and how that's going to change real soon. But again, Tasha could have a new person in her backyard, if you will.
Okay. I don't hate that. I do like the X division, not the X division, the knockouts tag title, tag division. Get it together, Cresta.
You're so close.
I'm so close to get it. I do enjoy it, but I do think that there is something to be said about the single stars who are on the undercard. I don't think we should just slam them together, because that's a problem that a lot of male wrestlers have, that we just slam together, make a tag team, and hope a Franken team works. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I do enjoy, like, even a Mickie James, if she doesn't go for a main title run, you know what I mean? It would be nice to see like an X division or the knockout shining stars or knock, I don't know, something creative. I'm not creative, you know what I mean? But something along those lines would be real cute. Even a digital media championship. Yeah, that'd be nice. Like something, they just need a mid card. That's how I feel.
Wow, Rhino's going to be upset with you over that one.
Okay. But he got kicked in the balls during Explosion, so he's got to worry about his own stuff right now.
We're going to get to that in a second. GYV, this is good stuff. So ABC's in the back. Ace of Base are in the back talking about losing the first match to GYV. And then GYV attacks him from behind. They shove Ace Austin's arm into the road case, slam the trunk, and they hold it tight. And I love it. Again, you're cheating, getting closer to that tag team gold. I almost said knockouts tag team gold because we just talked about the knockouts, but no, this is the TNA tag team championships. This was a good segment. This is a good little bit of storytelling, adding a little bit of fuel to the fire of the ABCs versus GYV.
Yeah, I think sorry, I got gas. Get it out. It don't pay rent. Ace Austin made a good point. Your first, second day you came in here, you got a title shot complaining. Okay, we're the guys. We'll beat you. And we did. And now you want another one? You got a rematch? And we beat you again. Like, so what are we doing here? We'll do the 2 out of 3 because we know how this goes. Them attacking, like, damn, Grizzly Young Veterans. Y'all some scumbags, but I'm here for it.
It's great because remember, Ace of Base, when they were heels, they were scummy, baggy assholes.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. They were cheating like that too. That's true.
This is as good turnabout as fair play. Now, obviously, they never interacted with GYV up until this point, but like, I love the idea that GYV can come in and just out scum the ABC. This is good.
I'm so far removed from my scum that I'm only cleanliness now. You know what I mean?
Ace Austin's going to shave his head and call himself Mr. Clean.
Oh. Simon Miller is going to come back and say gimmick infringement.
Oh, poor Simon Miller. I like him. Jake something looks up to Kaz, or at least he used to look up to Frankie Kazarian. They're going to have a match next week. I don't mind this. Again, Jake something is someone that they're trying to make, pardon the pun, something out of. And Frankie Kazarian's a pretty good opponent to have him lose to, because Kazarian is also on the rise. King of the Mountain, Frankie Kazarian. Am I right?
I'm not going to hold you. He hit him with that hard line. He said, you used to look up to me. If you don't look up to me, don't even look at me at all. I'm like, oh, you're a mean old man. That was good. You ate that. That was a good line. He's like, I used to look up to you. That reminded me of the day M. Bison came into your life. It was the most profound day of your life. For me, it was just a Tuesday. How rude. How absolutely rude.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see how that match plays out next week. Speedball Mike Bailey takes on Zachary Wentz. Check out my interview with Speedball on the channel, please. It's a really good conversation with Speedball. It just dropped at the worst possible time because the Scott D'Amore news dropped like 2 hours later. Go check it out. We filmed it in my the Luxor in my room with the, I'll admit the lighting's not great. So listen to the audio. Just put it on in the background. Do whatever you want, but the audio is great. Just listen to the banter. Listen to the conversations. Speedball and I have a lot to talk about wrestling philosophy and, of course, the Trent Seven signing. Where, like, did Speedball know that Trent Seven was signing when they had their tag match at Final Resolution? Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, he says he didn't, and it was a big surprise, and it was a really cool moment. And he talks about how teaming with Laredo Kid at Hard to Kill, while unexpected, was a really good piece of internal storytelling because his first match in TNA, or an Impact when he debuted, was a four-way. It was Laredo Kid versus Speedball versus Chris Bay versus, I think he said Trey. Either way, the people who were in that four-way for the tag titles were all part of Speedball's first ever match in Impact. So that was a good piece of storytelling. So go check out that email or that email. Wow. Go check out that interview. It is late. I saw someone say great shot of Speedball socks. this got me. Someone saw that we were premiering the video and they went in and they commented on the video saying, if he is barefoot, I'm unsubscribing from the channel.
You know, we live in a society.
The second I saw it, I started cackling. But yes, it's a little wonky, the shot. I do agree, but at least it's the content, it's the conversation that you stay for. It's really good stuff. Anyway, Speedball getting those glow kicks over, man. We never got a tag team with him and Trinity. I wanted that so bad.
Yeah. Like those, his kicks are so stiff, and hers, I want to say now, especially after being an Impact, absolutely are. But one is like, ah, and the other one's like, ah, it'd be super cute. I would have lived.
It would have been good stuff, but we're not going to see it, unfortunately, at least not right now. Who knows if a TNA WWE partnership does continue or happen, or who knows, maybe at the end of Speedball's contract, he goes to WWE. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Either way, Trey Miguel's at ringside. He's taking cheap shots. I like Wentz doing his roll through kicks. They're good stuff. A lot of back and forth towards the finish. Both men looking good and a lot of just standout offense from both. Miguel pulls Speedball off top rope, which he's going to go for the ultimate weapon. And then the UFO cutter from Wentz gets the win. It's solid. The post-match is really what I care about, Cresta. So let's get into it. The Rascals beat down Speedball Mike Bailey. Trent Seven makes his return and he makes the save. We talked about that last week as a possibility. And of course, Macklin comes out, lays everyone out, and then Nick Nemeth comes down. He evens out the odds, super kicks the Rascals and Macklin. Cresta, the big question coming out of this is, what are we going to name this Macklin and Rascals trio?
Maskles.
That's awful.
I mean, Macklin got to go to the treehouse first. I mean, listen, Macklin hanging out with the Rascals is kind of like seeing the school bully hang out with the, like, the cool stoner kids. Like, what are you? Why are you? But no, I take that back. He's not the school bully. He's the ROTC kid that's trying to recruit everybody. I don't know if they got ROTC in Canada, but
I know what you're talking about.
Steve Macklin is definitely the ROTC kid. Like, hey, what are you doing with your future? I don't know. You're going to cut a treehouse? What's in your treehouse? Trees. I got to see Macklin in the Steve house. But Maskles, you know you love it. You know you love it, Maskles.
Drop it in the comments. What do you think? What's the name for Macklin and the Rascals? They need a trio name, and I can't think of one at this hour. There's got to be one. Maskles is awful. Please do not indulge Cresta Star.
My friend was called a Speedball Mike Bailey earlier. Peepaw Mike Bailey. Like, you can't do that. You can't call him Peepaw Mike Bailey.
He's got a billion names. He has a Starbucks order name. That's how this whole, that's how that information, that conversation, that's how it starts. We're talking about Starbucks names.
I mean, Vascals just works. It just works.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
There's got to be a name for these guys, not Maskells. Go tell us in the comments. War and Peace is too honest. Yeah, Peanuts is the Lopro. They did watch the video. Peanuts is, that's Speedball's, that's his name for this. oh my God, for his Starbucks order. I'm done.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show.
Yeah, I hope you all enjoyed it. Alex Shelley beats. Anyway, Khan's in the back. He says the baddest man TNA. Today's going to rip apart two men with his bare hands. I want to get to that match right now because this was amazing. Khan defeats Richard Adonis and Ari Gold. This doesn't matter. He does exactly the beatdown you think he would do. Does the neck snap again on both Adonis and Gold. Great. And then PCO comes out. He's revived for the 288th time. And then Khan goes up the stage and beats down the nurses, orderlies, doctors, resurrectionists. What do you call these? It doesn't matter.
The smartest man in the room.
The people who take out who wake up PCO, they get taken out, and then PCO and Khan fight a lot. I want a street fight between those two so bad. PCO misses the dive to the outside, or does the dive to the outside, misses Khan. They fight through security, they fight to the back. I like this. It's silly as shit, but it's so fun. What do you think, PCO and Khan?
Khan is the smartest man in the room. He did not let these guys boot up PCO in his Windows 95 and his Windows 98. I'm jumping you right now. I can skip a whole step and beat this man up. I didn't think I wanted a match between these two, but I could see Khan beating up PCO, considering the last 2 years PCO's had where you were terrorizing Bully Ray, who is a jerk. You were terrorizing Steve Macklin, who is a jerk. You have someone like Khan beat you up. Monster passing on the torch to another monster. I could see it. I think it'll be a fun, it'll be a silly, fun match. But honestly, imagine if somebody attacked The Undertaker while he taking 20 minutes to come down that rail. Because I already know I'm going to lose you. I'm not doing this.
It's happened before, but this is good. I like
this. This was great stuff, pal.
It's so stupid, but it's the best. I love it. That's wrestling. Rhino. Okay. Let's talk about this promo. Now, it's less about the content of the promo. Very basically, Rhino is like, yeah, you kicked me in the balls. I'm going to take your digital media championship. Digital media don't mean shit to me, but championship gold does. So they're doing Rhino and Crazy Steve next week. What I like about this, like and hate, this is strange. It's a very ECW promo. Very ECW. If you look up ECW 99 Rhino, this is what you would have seen. And it's Rhino just tossing F-bombs and other expletives like after every other word. And at the time, that was very ECW. You do that. But the mainstream wrestling world would talk about how you don't do that because it takes away from the emphasis or the seriousness of your promo. You're just tossing it in to be edgy. But this works for Rhino because there's a nostalgia factor in 2024 with him doing this very ECW-ized promo. Okay. And I just need to know who produced it and who shot it because they got it. They got it right. But I mean, it's Rhino versus Crazy Steve for the Digital Media Championship. So what did you think of this whole thing? Because it's not a huge moment, but I like the way they put it together.
I'm going to tell you that I found it very hard to concentrate on that promo because that camera, oh my God, Kevin Dunn was somewhere smiling. That camera was so bad.
If you watch any promo from ECW in the 90s, that's what because they thought it was edgy. It was MTV, right? That was the way that the rap videos were shot and metal videos were shot. Like it was very, very herky jerky.
Man, I did not like this promo and solely for the camera angle because I was like, am I getting vertigo? Like, what is happening here? I just have complaints. I'm so sorry.
No, I get it. And again, this is the reason I like it is because it reminded me of that time. And I was watching at that time. I fully understand why someone would be like, this wasn't for me. Like I do because it makes perfect sense. So I just wanted to bring that up because if you go back and watch, I'll send out or I'll post an old ECW promo from Rhino and y'all will see if you haven't seen it before that this was very much that. I have a feeling I know who it was. And if it's the person I think it is, they were someone who was not a big fan of that in 1999. So we'll see. Anyway.
Not the scoops.
I wouldn't even call it that. It's just kind of it would just be a very funny moment. Trinity and Jordan Grace take on Giselle Shawn, Savannah Evans. This is Trinity's final TNA match. This was taped before she made her debut at the Royal Rumble back as Naomi. Tom Hannifin announced that Giselle Shaw is cashing in the Ultimate X for the match of No Surrender. So that question that we had last week finally gets answered because they kind of announced the match willy-nilly and we're like, why? What are we? What? And it felt a little weird just because the whole Ultimate X thing is like, you could just call it any time.
Yeah.
You could do it that night. It was just very strange that they went like, we're going to do it at the next big show. So anyway, it's interesting, but it's a good match between Trinity and Grace taking on Shawn Evans. You want to talk about that and we'll get into the rest of it.
I'm going to go ahead and say that all four of these ladies worked very stiff, but a special shout out to Trinity and Savannah Evans. These two girls worked the hell out of this match. Giselle Shaw is like, I'm going to take the night off. And when she did get in there, it was to take pot shots. But Savannah Evans was working her butt off. The theme of the night was refs being blind because Trey Miguel was cheating his boots off. Jay Vidal was cheating his boots off this match. The double suplex attempt on Savannah Evans in the beginning, I had to laugh because I'm like, I feel like Jordan Grace could pick up Savannah Evans on her own. And it's kind of funny to see you guys both struggling. I know y'all could pick her up. I know y'all could pick it up. It was a very nice code red into the finish. And it's nice that they let Trinity get the win in her hometown on her way out. I wish she would have stayed longer, but I do think that she did a great job as an amazing knockout champion. This match was good. I'm sad Trinity left, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. The code red into Starstruck on Savannah Evans, that gets the win. Shaw's outside. They show a long shot of her just upset. They did a backstage exclusive that's been posted to socials. Giselle Shaw fires the Shantourage, but says Evans has another chance. So I'm assuming that she's got a match next week that's going to be, if you lose, you're out. So Jay Vidal basically is a man without a country at this point.
That's crazy. Who could Jay Vidal tag with?
Tasha Steelz.
I don't hate it.
I would love it. It would be the best and worst idea. And it's Tasha Steelz being like, oh, this dork.
It's the fanny pack all over again.
No, at least the fanny pack is cool in wrestling. Jay Vidal is just there.
I like Jay Vidal. Jay Vidal, in his own way, to me, and I don't care if y'all agree, fight with your mom, It's like young Johnny Springer. His gimmick is so silly, but it's camp. I love it. It's camp. You're the fashion stylist. So like, hey, don't fight me. I'll spray you in the face.
Again, Jamie Doll's good. I'm waiting for them to do something more with him than they've done in the past. He's entertaining. I want to see him more in the ring. Maybe they'll give him some more reps on Explosion first.
I'm not going to lie. When Ace Shock and Chat said Jamie Doll teams with Rhino, I laughed. Or Crazy Steve, polar opposite.
Oh, that one was funny to me.
Or Moose.
give me a 6-week arc where Jamie Doll tries to join the system and it's Lish being like, no. No. And the other guys being like, no, you don't understand. He could get stuff done for us. And Lish being like, I get stuff done for you. And they'll be like, but it's not the same, baby. It's not the same.
Or Motor City Machine Guns kidnaps him and say, like, we've had it. You're going to learn how to wrestle like this. And he's a Wheeler Yuta of Motor City and Javen down Motor City.
They're sick of having Kushida lose all the matches for them anyway.
Listen, somebody gotta do it. Kevin Knight's gonna come up now.
You know what? Just do this. You know what? Okay. Jay Vidal and AJ Francis. Let's talk about this. So Diener's in the back and he says he's got a tough decision to make and he's at a crossroads in his career. Now comes AJ Francis and he offers his services. And then they mention, like, don't say his name. And of course, who comes out? Joe Hendry. And this is my favorite part. And I put this over on Twitter and I tagged all in it because I thought this was hilarious. AJ Francis, while Joe Hendry is doing his little shtick walking into frame, they're like, how does he do that? Why is he even here? And then Diener claps along with the I believe in Joe Hendry. And he's like,
the confused face, like, why am I clapping?
And Dahl is like, why did you clap? And I love it. It's just, it's so stupid, but it shows that Dahl is like aware of this gimmick and aware of the shit that Hendry does. It's very funny. And then Hendry says he feels bad for how things went with AJ. He says that people don't like him. It's not fair. And then he's like, he searched AJ's name on social media and he found the comments. And then he reads a comment. This is what it says verbatim. AJ Francis is the wrestling equivalent of raw sewage rotting in the sun, a bottom feeding dong peddler who belongs in prison for his crimes against good taste. This preposterous abomination is what you get if the YouTube comment section made it with the Ebola virus. 1-star rating. Do not recommend. You get the idea.
That's cap. Joe Hendry made that up. That's cap. Joe Hendry wrote, he made that up off the cuff from his burner.
I'm just saying, people talk shit about Dalla all day, but the dude is hard working. He deserves a lot more praise than he gets. I'll put it like that. He's a good dude.
I'm going to go ahead and say a hot, controversial take, and I don't care. But if AJ Francis and Joe Hendry get on the same page and become a tag team,
the music
videos against any other team is going to be so funny. No matter what team they go against, that team's like, yeah, I just got to beat you up because I already know how you give it up and I don't even want you to. You see how Khan ran up that ramp to beat up PCO? That's what I got to do to you because I don't want you to release your music video where you're like doing something really disrespectful. Like, why do you have this picture of me in third grade? I hate the both of you.
Give me Jay Vidal and Dalla. That's all I'm saying. And then AJ reminds Hendry the last time they met, he beat up Hendry for the things that he said. Says, I guess you haven't changed, so I'll take a different approach. And he walks off. And then Diener tells Hendry, don't speak for me. Don't touch me. And then he walks off. So Diener goes back to being, you know, snarky dickbag without an idea of what's going on. And Diener's just like, Hendry's just like, well, okay, that's something that happened. I don't mind it. Again, just being inserted into this, at least they're making something out of it. Diener and Hendry probably will have a match and then Francis will be involved somehow. But so yeah, that's kind of the general takeaway there.
I mean, I don't hate it. I think it's a good way to rehabilitate AJ Francis, because there is a lot of negative talk about him. I'm always give peace a chance. Let people wrestle. You know them in one capacity. You don't know them in their entire capacity. And you're going to argue over a man you never met. Knock it off. So I'm willing to give it a chance. I do see a Joe Hendry, AJ Francis program happening. I even see a Diener. But now, like you said, Diener is without a country, kind of like Jay Vidal. So maybe Diener and Vidal together. But if I'm Vidal, I kind of don't want to be in another group, let alone in a group with Diener, who just had like two failed groups back to back, if you want to be technical.
Yeah, I get it. Josh Alexander versus Allen Angels. Kids, stop fighting. Parents, don't let your siblings fight. Don't let your sons fight.
That was not, you know what that was? That was when your mom has had enough of you and your little brother bickering because you're 17 and your little brother's 16. And he's like, all you do is take my stuff and ruin my life. You never respect me. And your mom's like, go outside and fight. And your little brother's full of piss and vinegar. He said, I'm going to beat you up. And then you beat up your little brother.
Krista, are you projecting?
Oh, no. I beat up my little brother to this day. That's not what happened here. Me and my little brother tussle. Alan Angels tried. He got muckalized. He like Josh Alexander gave him the what for. To quote Gia Miller, he gave him the what for.
Angels attacks Alexander in the intro. I like that. It's again, I think Krista, you hit it on the head. It's piss and vinegar. Angels came out with piss and vinegar, does the shitty heel things, tries to cheat to win, and then Alexander gets annoyed, slaps on the ankle lock, and that's it. The post-match is really what matters. A fan hops the guardrail and attacks Josh Alexander. He's wearing a face mask. He takes off the mask, and it's Simon Gotch, who is Matthew Raywalt's favorite wrestler. So this is going to be a fun one. Gotch and Alexander, presumably at No Surrender. It's one of those guest appearances that we often talk about. But there you go. The Vaudevillains are back in TNA, just not together yet.
I have to be honest with you. When he first took off the mask, I was like, Bobby Fish, what are you doing here?
Oh, it's the mustache. I get it.
Yes, 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 yes. And I was like, oh, that's Simon Gotch. I know that guy. I know that guy.
Listen.
Honestly, Bobby Fish, Simon Gotch, if you have them be together in a tag team, who's who? Twin Magic. They both lived for 1,000 years. Twin Magic.
Listen, it's fine. This is an excuse for Simon Gotch to have that shoot interview with Enzo Amore video pop up on YouTube for the 40 billionth time.
I'm not going to hold you. Sometimes, full disclosure to our viewers, I like to get on the internet and lie. So this is me making this up. This is not a scoop, okay? Because I know you guys like to tussle. But Enzo Amore signs to TNA. Just for this match. Listen, they're different people now. They are different people. Listen, I'm either going to get that or I'm going to get Ric Flair versus Jay Lethal in a woo-off again. Something's got to happen in my lifetime because I miss both of them, okay? I miss both of them in my wrestling watching career, and I'm going to watch one of them.
Go on TNA Plus and watch the latter, but Enzo and TNA, who knows? It could happen, but for now, Gotch and Alexander is fine. Gotch is a good wrestler as well, so it will be fun to watch those two. I do wonder if Raywalt gets involved. It's inevitable. He has to. And Raywalt has wrestled in TNA or in Impact. He has wrestled.
He's also really spicy on the commentary. And tonight, Hannifin kept pointing out, he's like, every time someone comes over there, you change your tune. You need to watch your mouth before you have to get in this ring. So, you know, maybe a little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind doing a Gotch and Raywalt tag team for a little bit on the show. It would be fun. But yeah, Simon Gotch makes his TNA. Oh, is it return or debut? I'll have to take a look. But regardless, he's in TNA for a little bit. Him and Alexander is a good first match, and I'm sure they'll be doing that at No Surrender, so it makes me happy. Next week, GYV versus Ace of Base Part 2, Digital Media Championship, Crazy Steve versus Rhino. Rhino doesn't care about digital media, but he loves titles. Kazarian takes on Jake Something, Moose takes on Kushida, and Cresta Star's favorite wrestler appears in the Impact Zone for the first time. Ash. By elegance.
You know, I know you're memeing, but there's only one person that'll rustle my jimmies like that. I'm still going to give her a chance. I'm giving Peace a chance. Just because the video package, I don't understand it, doesn't mean that it's bad. Sometimes I just got to get it. I'm not all together there. I'm pretty. I'm not smart. Sometimes I got to get it together.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Thanks.
Folks, we're heading down the home stretch. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Let's take a real quick look. Has Simon Gotch ever appeared for TNA Wrestling? Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. He defeated Jack. Nope, that's a spoiler. That's not really a thing. He appeared once. Really? That's not right.
I mean, you asking Google and you ain't know.
Who was he? Ryan Drag? Oh my God. He was known as Ryan Drago once. This was 2006. LAX versus La Migra.
In 2006?
I was 16.
I feel like...
That's a lie. I was 22.
I feel like I just graduated high school. I was in my 20s.
I was 19.
Okay. Bully Ray has said it is time for us to wrap it up because she's hungry.
All right. Edward Edwards takes on Alex Shelley. It's a good back and forth match. Two former world champions going at it. Limbs for everyone. Shelley keeps working over Edward Edwards in the limbs. Big knee by Edwards and a kick out by one. We get the adrenaline rush and Shelley reverses the Boston knee party for a roll up pin. It's a good, solid main event match. Go out of your way to watch it because these two know how to work each other. It's good stuff. Post match is really what matters. This is the big news. Brian Myers attacks Shelley. Kushida and Kevin Knight make the save. Knight hits a big slingshot crossbody from the ring to the floor on Myers and Edwards. And here is what happens after the show. Alex Shelley challenges Moose to a no surrender rules match for the world championship and no surrender. Well, now we knew Shelley and Moose were going to have a match. Do you know what no surrender rules are, Cresta Starr?
A no disqualification.
It's even better than that. The match, this is from TNA. The match ends when the towel is thrown in on someone's behalf by one of their corner men.
I'm not going to hold you. The only thing that sounds exciting about that is hearing commentary call it time machine jacket.
I have to be honest with you. It's convoluted AF to me. I don't love that this match ends because someone throws in the towel. I understand the whole system symbiosis thing. Like it you're feeding into that story. I get it. But putting this, like, it's not an I quit match, but it is an I quit match. But the person who's quitting for you is going to be someone in your corner. It's not going to be you passing out or you saying I quit. There is no submission. There is no pin. The match is, it's basically no disqualification until someone else says no more. And I'm sure they're going to do a spot where somebody grabs someone else's towel and throws it in for them. And the referee then has to stop the match and restart. It's just, it's convoluted in my brain.
I get what you're saying. For the heels, it becomes, do you prove Alex Shelley right by if someone throws in the towel because we don't want you, Moose, to break your ankle or if you're in some submission and then you all start crumbling because now you're blaming Myers for throwing in the towel for you or Alicia Edwards for throwing in the towel for you or Eddie Edwards in the case of jacket time gun machine. That's just fun. It's like saying a bunch of words together. I like that. I don't think there'd be any ill will. But in that situation, it'd definitely be a wow, Kevin Knight getting worked over. We got to stop the match. Like, this ain't it. This ain't it. So I do not know how that's going to play out. It is. It's not convoluted. It's just a little weird. How do you know when the other person's had too much? How do you know when the other person could take more? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, normally how you know someone had too much, that there's you go through training for that and you cut them off.
Wow. Speaking from personal experience, Joe.
No. The amount of times I've been blackout drunk in my life is once, and I was on a cruise ship on my last day.
I mean, sing us a song, mister. You want to go play the piano? You want to go play the piano?
Not at all. That piano can stay there in the background. And that was TNA Wrestling Impact for February 8th, 2024. More alcoholic stories coming next week. I'm sure of it. Cresta Starr, tell them where they can find what you got going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am very excited to announce that I am here every Thursday and Saturday over here on Fightful. Thursday, I go over TNA Impact with my ride or die, my wrestling mentor, my best friend for life, Joe Pearl. Did you guys know that Joe Pearl and I are both 8,000 years old? That's a lie. Get on the internet to lie.
No, that's accurate.
On Saturday, I'm live with Ricochito and Iridian. We go over all things Collision. And this 23rd, I should be here for Hard to Kill. If not, I would say you can catch me every Wednesday streaming on Twitch.tv or TikTok. But my muggle job has me by the throat, so I don't know when I'll be back to doing personal stuff. So catch me here on Fightful. Follow me on all forms of social media. Cresta V Star at the bottom somewhere here. Linktree is in my bio. I want to be your friend. Let's talk about wrestling. Joe Pearl, where can they find you?
Like Cresta said, we are here every Thursday night after TNA Impact. We go after the Ring of Honor post show. We are back for No Surrender. That is Friday night, February 23rd. So we'll figure it out where we'll be, but we will be doing a post show regardless. It will be on Fightful. It's just whether or not SmackDown is that important, because that's the go home to Elimination Chamber as well.
Oh my God.
So we'll see what goes on. Regardless, I am Agile Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-L. We are in the weeds every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked. I'm checking a message because I need to know if I'm going to promote this right now. Yes, tomorrow, because it's TNA related, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, Masha Slamovich is joining us on the show on In the Weeds. I'm going to talk to her about the J-Cup, the JCW J-Cup, and a plethora of other things. I'm sure TNA will come up. And that's the news. That's all that's meant to muck. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll be back and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.